I'm Brandi Cruz. Fearing for her life, detransitioner Chloe Cole has canceled an event at the University of Washington. Plus, should there be stricter rules when it comes to protesting outside someone's personal residence? And a state education board is moving to punish school superintendents for wrongthink. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. If you'd like to support our show for $5 a month, and in fact, right now it's even less than that because we're running a promo for 30% off, go to patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I would be remiss if I did not begin the show today with some gratitude to all of you. The amount of support that you've shown us over the last 48 hours has been absolutely overwhelming. I mean, I know you guys always have our back, but we're not going to start the show again with the same, you know, going through what's going on with this progressive cabal trying to ruin my reputation and bankrupt my business. But I mean, just, you know, the number of messages I've gotten and emails, new paid subscribers to the show has truly been overwhelming and probably kept me from having a breakdown yesterday. So I do appreciate it. But I was getting a lot of calls, even from friends out of state, saying, what's going on? What's happening? I read some Seattle Times article about you. You're all over the news. And the issue is really confusing. So this morning I did write up a pretty succinct article about what's happening. It's called We Fight On, because what other choice is there? And you can find that, you can read it for free, it's not behind a paywall, on Patreon, Locals, and X. So I put that up just sort of for posterity, explaining what's going on, who's behind it, and what our response is going to be moving forward, because this is not going away. And I imagine that what we're dealing with right now is only going to get worse. But we fight on, because what other choice is there? The other choice is giving up. And giving up for all of us is just not in our DNA. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank you, Nicole, for being an absolute champion over the last 2 weeks, because as you guys know, this isn't all we've been dealing with. There's been a number of lawfare attempts and other things just trying to distract us from our mission. And so I've been coming in late every single day before the show, literally doing virtually none of the work required to get the show ready for air. So Nicole looks at me every day just like, hi, as I come in. I didn't get in until 11 this morning, which is very unusual. So a big round of applause for Nicole. For, you can't round of applause yourself.
Well, just for you. You're going to you're gonna get through it.
I know, but you've been picking up a lot of the slack that I've left. So I do appreciate
anytime.
It. But, you know, this is all part of sort of a larger issue that I have, is that Washington State has become a hellhole for radical leftists to essentially give a heckler's veto to anyone they disagree with. And they do this in a number of ways. You know, they do it through lawfare. They do it through vilification and harassment. And they do it through violence. And their hope is that anyone who disagrees with them will give up, be shut up, be killed, whatever it is. And you guys know I've dealt with this on a variety of fronts, whether it's out trying to do my job, being attacked rather than record and document things. And this, there was supposed to be a big event today at the University of Washington held by Turning Point USA. And it was going to feature this woman here. Her name is Chloe Cole. She probably looks familiar to you because she's one of the most prominent detransitioners in the country. She was convinced at a very young age that instead of being a girl, she was a boy, took some steps toward that end, and absolutely upended her life. And now she's come to realize that that was all a very big mistake. And so she's been a very vocal opponent of, you know, radical gender ideology and trying to trans children. And so she is part of this movement. It's called the Pick Up the Mic Initiative. And it basically was born out of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, where you have individuals like Chloe who go to college campuses across the country to try to start a conversation and do what Charlie Kirk did. And so she was going to be at the University of Washington today. And I was going to go cover it, of course, with heavy, heavy security. And then we were going to try to get Chloe on the show. And we were told, well, we just had to cancel the event. So part of the reason, and I think the biggest reason, there had been all this chatter online from these leftists, the typical crowd, right? And just look at the flyer. It's got the trans pride flag and then the pro-Palestine flag. Like, what the hell? They don't even know what the hell they're doing. And they had these flyers about why protest Turning Point USA. Charlie Kirk was a right-wing Nazi Trump supporter and public speaker who visited college campuses across the United States to spout hate speech and create viral clips. His organization, Turning Point USA, shares his fascist views against minorities. This Wednesday, the WTPUSA chapter is hosting a transphobic grifter at Kane Hall, a transphobic grifter. And there was a ton of vitriol against Chloe Cole that I was seeing online. And one of the fascinating, the whole hatred towards detransitioners, to me, just the left tells on itself. They, oh my gosh, they celebrate and support kids who transition because, oh, they're being true to themselves. But if they detransition, they're transphobic grifters. They're fascists. They're Nazi sympathizers. Even if you detransition, because in the case of Chloe Cole, she was being true to herself. Oh, no, no, you can't do that. And so they'll celebrate people who transition, and they will demonize, assault, try to kill people who detransition. So Chloe Cole put out a video explaining her decision to, at least for the time being, they're hoping that they're going to be able to come back, you know, maybe a little more prepared for the security environment, but she put a video explaining the decision.
Before Charlie Kirk's assassination, I think I would have been less careful, but the times have changed. And speaking on a university campus in 2026 can come with deadly consequences. We are postponing this event because of this reality. I am not afraid of Antifa. The reason I'm speaking out at all is because I've already walked and escaped my own personal hell. It's hard to shake me. And some ragtag group of wannabe revolutionaries on cross-sex hormones certainly won't shake me. But there's a difference between being brave and being stupid. This is not a win for Antifa, because truth will always win. Christ will always prevail. God created each and every single one of us in his image. And there are only two sexes. That is the exact message I was going to take to University of Washington tomorrow. I will be back. Not just to UW, but to many campuses across the country. Because once conversations stop, that is when the violence begins.
Yeah, and I don't blame Chloe at all. And as she articulated there, there is a difference between bravery and stupidity. And if you have an environment that, you know, the university is telling you, or maybe police are telling you, they are just not equipped to properly protect you going into that situation, it's just not worth her life. So they're hoping to be back, maybe get a little more security, spend a little more time working with the University of Washington, Seattle Police, and UW Police. I also like what she said, because I definitely feel this as of late, that she said, you know, doing this is not a win for Antifa because they can never win. And I this is trans Tifa, let's be clear, but they can never win because they don't have the truth on their side. So they could do anything they want. They can harass, they can kill, they can target, but that doesn't change the biological reality of what she was coming to the University of Washington to talk about. That doesn't all of a sudden make boys girls. Now, there's also this other wrinkle in the background of all of this, which is this week, a transgender 19-year-old at the University of Washington was fatally stabbed in an off-campus housing complex. Horrible, horrible crime. As I said, the victim was transgender. But there's no indication that they were killed because they were transgender. It sounds like this was, and they won't say, you know, that it was a black guy is the suspect. Whenever they leave out the race of the person, I think this is really tearing apart the left, because they want to make this about, oh, this is transgender violence, but then the suspect is black. And so they don't want to call a black suspect a transphobe or whatever it was. But I really think this is just some crazy homeless guy who found a victim and killed them. And that's just absolutely horrific, because we see an awful lot of that happening in the city of Seattle. And the left loves to cover for it. The Seattle Times, the homeless guy who dragged a 15-year-old into the woods the other day, you know, the Seattle Times just left off the part that he was homeless. And I don't know that this individual's homeless or just crazed or whatever it is. But so people turned this into, oh, you can't bring an anti-trans Nazi grifter here the same week that a trans person was killed, as if the two things have anything to do with one another. Now, if this had been a targeted hate crime, which again, no indication that it was, where you had some individual still at large who sought out a transgender person and murdered them, I might feel a little different about, okay, is this the proper week to have Turning Point USA and Chloe Cole come to the University of Washington? I might have entertained that. But as it sits right now, the two have nothing to do with one another. But I look forward to seeing Chloe Cole when she's back at the University of Washington. But, you know, how can this environment continue to be allowed? And really, what can we do about it, right? And I kind of tagged the DOJ in something and talked about this reality that Washington, in Washington State, these leftists are emboldened and kind of encouraged to do this sort of stuff, to have a heckler's veto, to make this an inhospitable environment for political disagreement. And it just totally negates people's First Amendment rights who are on the other side. So is there anything the federal government can do about this? You know, if the University of Washington is unable or unwilling to create a safe environment for political dissent, is there something that the federal government can step in and do about it? It's a real conversation that needs to happen. On a related note, we're seeing the same sort of thing happen outside of Seattle in an area that I think has, for the most part, been immune to this sort of left-wing political violence and extremism, and that's the city of Bellevue. So there was an article put out earlier this week by my friend Ari Hoffman at KVI. Exclusive. Bellevue considers new protest ordinance amid harassment targeting Representative Adam Smith. So for a long time now, Congressman Smith's home in Bellevue has been the target of left-wing extremists that have gathered outside of his house in the middle of the night, banging drums, lighting flags on fire, vandalizing his home and his property. I know that he's been subjected to a lot of different threats from the pro-Hamas side of things. And this has been terrorizing not only Congressman Smith and his family, and also I feel for his wife because he's gone a lot. He's on the other side of the country. These terrorists don't care. They'll still be outside of his house. Can you imagine? I mean, his poor wife, it's just horrible, not to mention the neighbors who are dealing with it on a daily basis. And so the city of Bellevue put forth last night an ordinance for a vote. Now, before I get into what the ordinance will do, there are aspects of it I agree with, and there are aspects of the ordinance I don't agree with, because first and foremost, I'm always going to defend peaceful speech. I'm always going to defend free speech, and I'm going to be against limitations on free speech. But a lot of what these people are doing clearly goes beyond that. I think my question is, does there need to be a specific law to deal with this issue, or should the police just enforce the laws that are on the books? Now, we had a long day yesterday, as you know, dealing with all the drama directed at me, and I really wanted to go home after the show. But instead, I stuck around on the east side and I went to the Bellevue City Council meeting. And man, I haven't been to a Bellevue City Council meeting in like 10 years. But the reason I felt compelled to go there is Congressman Smith is one of the few Democrats who have actually spoken out against the left-wing violence that I've been faced with and the kind of left-wing extremism and political terrorism that has become so commonplace in Seattle and across the West Coast. And I'm very grateful for that, because I think if more Democrats had been speaking out about these things over the last 15 years, things wouldn't be so dangerous right now, and they wouldn't be so hostile right now. So there was a part of me that's like, you know, Congressman Smith has spoken out when it's been people on the right who've been attacked or assaulted or whatever it is. And so I'm going to stick around and I'm going to go to this meeting and cover it, but also sort of glare at the extremists, which I did. Just for you, Congressman Smith, I gave him the old stink eye. So the ordinance is as follows. It basically talks about constitutional rights, et cetera, et cetera. But here is the actual meat and potatoes of it. It says, targeted residential protest. This section enacts a limited prohibition against targeted protest focused on a particular occupant of a residence or a residence itself. The limited purpose of this prohibition is to reconcile constitutional rights and free expression and to peacefully protest with the targeted residents' rights to privacy and enjoyment of tranquility, well-being, and sense of security in their home. So they say it is unlawful for any person to commit targeted residential protest. And they use this, here's the definitions. This is very important to understand. Quote, targeted residential protest means knowingly participating with three or more persons in a protest that is targeted, directed, or focused at a particular occupant of the resident or the resident itself, as shown by posting of persons, focused course, or route in front of, around, or directly adjacent to the residence. Protest means any protest, demonstration, or picketing activity, including but not limited to marching, congregating, standing, posting, parading, demonstrating, picketing, patrolling, etc. And then it says residence means any permanent building being used by one or more occupants, etc. So basically, you can't gather in a group of three or more with the point of targeting a particular house or a particular person. So here's the thing. I have some clips I'm going to play from the far-left lunatics in a moment. This kills me. It does. But I disagree with the ordinance. I disagree with the ordinance because I don't believe it's necessary if Bellevue police would be empowered to do their jobs and to hold individuals accountable for criminal conduct that's been happening outside Congressman Smith's house. You know, protest isn't always comfortable. It's not always pretty. I think it is a horrible thing to do to target someone in their home. I think it's a horrible thing to do to target public figures in their private spaces, essentially. But I don't see how, on a constitutional basis, you can say, oh, if you've got three or more of you holding signs, if you're standing on the public sidewalk outside someone's house, all of a sudden you sacrifice your constitutional rights. Now, that being said, I've always thought that these sorts of laws need to target the actual specific action, right? I said this about Antifa as well. You know, I don't think the federal government can go out and round up anyone who calls themselves Antifa or you know, wears a big A on their shirt. I think that they have to target the actions. So if people are burning flags in Congressman Smith's driveway, they're committing a crime. If they're spray painting his personal property, they're committing a crime. If they're banging drums at night in a city that has a noise ordinance, they're committing a crime. So there are a lot of individual crimes already on the books where if the city of Bellevue and the police department would just absolutely go there and lay down the law, and fellow Democrats would come out and say what's happening to Congressman Smith is absolutely unacceptable, this shouldn't happen to anyone, and would be consistent, I don't think that this issue would be going on. I have constitutional concerns with the ordinance. So there were a couple individuals in the Hamasniks and their little scarves that showed up. Here's one of them that just hates that Adam Smith loves Israel.
My name is Joseph Osteller, and I'm a member of the Seattle Against War, a grassroots anti-war organization in South Seattle. Representative Adam Smith, for over 30 years in office, has been responsible for U.S. tax dollars going towards unjustified wars, extending all the way back to Iraq. We have been to his speaking events, even though he doesn't publicize them so that we can't go. He has left us, he's systematically closed off all avenues for us to speak to him directly and to have our concerns be heard. The escalation to be at his house is because he leaves us no other option. The ordinance would be another fence put between those in power and those who are impacted by his decisions. The only way we win any concessions is through protests.
No. Here's the thing. You say he's cut off any other avenue for us to be able to reach him. You guys have terrorized him at town halls with your friend Shama Sawant. If you were going to these town halls and you were sitting there and you were just asking questions about his stance on Israel or whatever it is, he wouldn't have shut down the town halls. You went there and you do what you do because you're left-wing terrorists. And then you come and cry because, oh my gosh, now you're not going to let us terrorize him outside his home? Stop that. Stop acting like terrorists. Act like an adult. Discuss differences of opinion. You do have a right to get answers from your elected leader. You don't have a right to harass him. You don't have a right to make him and his staff and his family feel unsafe. But somehow you feel like that is something that you're entitled to. And there was this woman holding up this sign that I think just speaks to this. It says, if protests cause emotional distress, Maybe it's a sign that you deserve it. What kind of garbage human being believes that? And this individual was there and holding up the sign. I couldn't believe it because one of the arguments Congressman Smith has made is this is causing my family emotional distress. And I can't even imagine. Of course it is. It would cause any reasonable person emotional distress. And they're saying, well, that's a sign that you deserve it. They're garbage people, garbage human beings. And as there were some neighbors of Congressman Smith's who testified, and they said, one guy said, I'm a member of Indivisible. I go out and I protest. What's happening outside Congressman Smith's house is unacceptable. That's not peaceful protest. It's not peaceful demonstration. And this chick sitting there giggling. They love that it's causing him distress. They love that they're making him feel unsafe in his own home. And in fact, they had this post on social media that say they don't think that he's suffering enough emotional distress. So make no mistake about my disagreement with the ordinance on constitutional grounds. And what I think are the garbage, horrible terrorists that are absolutely making him feel unsafe in his own home. There was this other, I just had to play this video because in Bellevue, they run a tight ship. They're like, Bellevue's so businesslike, you know, compared to Seattle. So when they're doing public testimony, for instance, you can have three people testify in favor of a proposal and three people testify opposed, and that's it, and they move on to the next action item. And if you're acting a fool, they got cops in there and they will absolutely drag your ass out. So they get to the three, they have three against it, and so then there's no more. So this woman comes up and she says she's there to testify about, I think it's like a land use issue or something about her anger over all these political yard signs littering the streets and stuff. So she talks about that for like 1 minute. And then she does a switch up on them. And then she starts ranting about Adam Smith and Israel and this bill. So they try for like 30 seconds to stop her. And she just keeps reading her script. And that's when police escort her away.
This is your third warning. Can you please follow the out of the podium? Thank you so much.
As anti-fascist Democrats.
Yeah. You can hear me. Oh, God.
Thank you so much.
Wow, you guys are doing a great job of protecting free speech.
Thanks, Speaker on our list.
Yeah, again, thinks she's entitled to special treatment, to special rules. Oh, wow, how dare you? And then she sat over there giggling like, oh, look what I accomplished. I mean, these are absolutely unhinged children, right? So ultimately, Deputy Mayor Dave Hamilton spoke about this, and he disagrees with me, obviously. He believes that this is a reasonable restriction on speech.
The U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in on this issue and has made it clear that narrowly tailored restrictions on focused residential picketing are constitutional and that protecting residential privacy is a significant government interest as people are considered a captive audience in their own homes. A frustration over perceived lack of engagement or accessibility or complaints about how some folks are characterized are not sufficient reasons to disrupt someone's residential privacy.
Yeah, and maybe he's right. And maybe my understanding of the constitutional issues at play here are incorrect. I understand that in a home, you can't escape it. You are a captive audience. I just think you enforce the laws that are on the books and you don't have this issue. It always freaks me out when the government is trying to regulate. I mean, as I'm dealing with right now, with people trying to have the government regulate my speech, I just have to be consistent on the free speech issues. Punish the criminal behavior and protect the speech. Ultimately, the city council overwhelmingly passed the ordinance into law.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes. Thank you so much. We do have...
Yay! Oh, there it is.
I would like to note her behavior and her refusal to follow any of your discussions.
Absolutely.
With a formal complaint.
Thank you so much. Yes.
I hope you enjoy having sided with war criminals.
I mean, they're children, but they're dangerous. They're absolutely act like little entitled brats, but they're dangerous. So I don't want to confuse those two things. So I'm absolutely on Congressman Smith's side on this. What's happening to him is unacceptable. I just never have a good feeling about restrictions on speech. And I think the Bellevue Police Department ought to be out there and ought to create an example and lay down the law. And any little individual step out of line that's not peacefully assembling free speech needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I have encouraged you guys to take the First Mark challenge with our friends at First Mark Insurance, because they can save you money on your insurance and still make sure you have fantastic insurance that'll cover you in the event that something horrible happens. Connie says, I'm super impressed with First Mark. Learned about them by watching Brandy. I was looking for a different car insurance company, so I made the call. I received an email from Chase. He was able to save me a considerable amount on my car insurance. Very easy to work with. No high pressure sales ever. I'd recommend First Mark to my friends and family. In fact, I already have. So join the growing First Mark family and figure out what it's like to have insurance that is a breeze and easy to deal with. And when you call them, they pick up the phone and they're a real human being right here in Washington State, not somewhere overseas that you're trying to work your way through a phone tree. It's fantastic. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. I'll never use anyone else. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. All right. This is, I mean, again, this is fascism. You want to talk about fascism? You want to talk about authoritarianism? What's happening in Washington State? They're covering all the bases. Any sort of disagreement, they're going to look for the way that they can squash it and ruin your life and take your livelihood away, hurt you physically, make your life miserable. It's insane. And now, their target is any school superintendent who dares to question radical gender ideology. So this is from our friends at the Center Square. So before we get to the underpinning here of the vote that's going to happen, remember the LaCenter superintendent? We had him on our show. So he's one of a couple superintendents across the state of Washington who in fall of last year, he launched a fight against OSPI over their gender policies and pronouns. Peter Rosenkrantz, we had him on the show. And he basically said, look, we don't agree with the state of Washington, you know, mandating that we hide pronouns from parents. And we, you know, if a kid comes to school and they want to be called by a different name or gender, that we just do it. And we intentionally keep secrets from parents. So they set about challenging the state of Washington in that regard. Well, there's a punishment. Right? There's got to be a punishment for pushing back. So this is from the Washington Policy Center. Washington State is moving to punish superintendents who tell parents the truth about their own children. So coming up on May 15th, 2 days from now, the Professional Educator Standards Board is going to be meeting. And they're going to be considering a change in what they're calling, well, it's regulations for superintendents for basically their conduct, but they're going to be considering superintendent willful noncompliance changes. We have a slide from them. There was like a whole slide presenting what they were going to do with this. So this all stems from House Bill 1296. We'll get to that in a moment, but basically it's going to add punishments for superintendents who willfully will not comply with state policies around gender ideology in schools. So in the text of what has already passed, House Bill 1296, there was this. It said, the Washington Professional Educator Standards Board must adopt rules that make a local school district superintendent's or chief administrator's willful noncompliance with state law an act of unprofessional conduct, and provide that a superintendent or chief administrator, whether certified or not, may be held accountable for such conduct under rules established under this section. It is a defense to a fine, blah, blah, blah. So then they talk about it. So willful noncompliance with state law is an act of unprofessional conduct. Now, look, that sounds on its face kind of reasonable, right? Oh my God, if you got a school superintendent who's willfully violating state law? But look, if you have a school superintendent who's willfully violating state law, I mean, you could bring charges against them if they're committing a crime. But this isn't about that. This is about speech. He, and in the case of the LaCenter superintendent, he went about it the right way. He went about legally trying to challenge that every school district in the state had to keep secrets from parents. And what they're saying is even just doing that, willful noncompliance, you're not even allowed to question the law. You're not allowed to speak the words that you don't think the law is right, that you don't think it's right to keep secrets from parents. Now, why is all of this extra relevant right now? I would argue it would be relevant at any time. Because what are voters going to decide in November? One of the Let's Go Washington initiatives is to restore, once again, the parental Bill of Rights. And so you have a situation where they don't want, from now until November, they don't want your school superintendent advocating for that. They want to squash their speech. Because if they advocate for it, then they're in willful noncompliance with state law. And they're committing an act of unprofessional conduct. So the Policy Center talks about and weaves all this together in a very understandable way. So they say last year the legislature passed House Bill 1296 under the guise of promoting a safe and supportive education system. So remember what 1296 did. Let's Go Washington already ran a parental Bill of Rights initiative and sent it to the legislature. And the legislature adopted it. But then they came back the next year, introduced House Bill 1296, which gutted it. So it was all about reinstating some of these radical gender policies and secret keeping that the parental Bill of Rights the first time around had undone. And when they went back and did that in 1296, they inserted this language into the law to say, not only are we undoing the parental Bill of Rights, but we're now going to change the educational standards to punish superintendents who speak out about it. I mean, again, it's dystopian stuff. Well, this is like communist China stuff. It's absolutely insane. So what could happen to one of these superintendents? It says, for certified superintendents, a finding of willful noncompliance triggers proceedings under the Washington Administrative Code. And they say that the existing framework for suspension and revocation of educator certificates, you can lose your certificate and you wouldn't be able to work as an educator anywhere in the state of Washington. So they're going to take their livelihood away. And then if you are non-certified superintendents, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction is authorized to mandate a compliance action, withhold and redirect up to 20% of the district's state basic education funding, issue a formal finding of unprofessional conduct on the superintendent's professional record. So basically, they could keep money from your entire school district if your superintendent steps out of line. In what way are they not trying to regulate speech? And all around this radical gender ideology, all in the name of pretending that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. So if you're a superintendent, all of a sudden you have no First Amendment rights anymore. Take them away. And it's all because voters are going to have a say on this in November. And they're very, very concerned that voters right, left, and center are going to vote to keep boys out of girls' sports and are going to vote to say that, yes, parents have rights and parents have the right to know what's happening with their kids at school. And if Tommy goes to school and wants to be called Tiffany, the parent has a right to know that. And these absolute unhinged fascist ideologues don't want anyone to be able to have an opinion that is contrary to theirs. So they'll take your career away if you're a school superintendent. So not only do I need a lot of support right now, Let's Go Washington needs support. These freaking superintendents need support. Anyone, the detransitioner needs support who was threatened from coming to the UW campus. I mean, we need to be there for anyone whose voice is threatened, whose life is threatened by these unhinged lunatics. And I pray to God the federal government finds a way to come in and help us out and protect our First Amendment rights. We'll get to a double dose of unbelievable coming up next and continue on the education front. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. There are a lot of good reasons to do that. One, they are absolutely leading the fight to try to restore reasonable housing policy in the state of Washington. So they have a couple really interesting property rights cases that they're working on. So your membership helps with that. But they can also help you on an individual basis with screening, forms, etc. And then they're advocating on your behalf at the local, county, state level all the time. So RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. Well, I'm going to butcher this name. You couldn't even put a pronouncer in there for me. You did that intentionally. No, you did it intentionally. I won't hear any excuse. Seattle's Education Association has a new president, so the Seattle Public Schools Teachers Union. Ibijoki Iduwa. Ibijoki Iduwa. Ibijoki Iduwa. Okay, we're going to go with that. The problem is, when they elected her, she was already under investigation for child abuse. They elected her anyway. This is from the Post Millennial. Seattle Education Association elects teacher under investigation for child abuse as its next union president. In fact, not only is she under investigation, she's on leave, you guys. She's on leave. Iduwa was put on leave in December after the district notified Seattle police of suspected child abuse or neglect. Nobody along the way thought, hey guys, like, maybe there's a better option. You know, she's on leave. The police are investigating her for potential child abuse or neglect. Like, is there anyone else that we could possibly choose? It says a Seattle Public Schools teacher under investigation over allegations she physically abused a student is likely to become the next president of the Seattle Education Association. Preliminary election results show Ibijoki Iduwa, a special education teacher at Rising Star Elementary School in South Beacon Hill, ahead in the contest to lead the union. The union represents roughly 6,000 Seattle Public Schools employees. That includes teachers, paraprofessionals, etc. In a complaint filed with the district, the parents of a third grade student at Rising Star who has autism and is only partially verbal said they noticed bruises in the shape of adult fingers on their son's arm in October and again in December. Using visual aids, they asked their son whether an adult caused the bruises, and he identified Iduwa. The parents also allege that in December, their son's therapist saw Iduwa throw a marker at the child's head, which allegedly struck his face and glasses while he was working at a whiteboard. Tyson Marsh, the student's father, told the outlet that his son has struggled emotionally since the alleged incidents and has not wanted to go back to school. He said, quote, any movement toward him is received as if you were going to attack him. So you have, and look, innocent until proven guilty, innocent until proven guilty, but you have an educator who is accused of abusing an autistic child who's only partially verbal, with at least one other witness, the boy's therapist, and bruises. The school district thinks it's serious enough that they tell the police about it. And that's great. Wow, what a change. They put her on leave, and she's still leading in the race to become the next union president. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the teachers' unions in Washington State. It is absolutely unbelievable. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. What is that?
Sorry. My mouse is just a little off.
That's all right. The city of Tacoma, more virtue signaling on the ice front. Tacoma City Council restricts unauthorized use of public property for civil immigration enforcement. Is every West Coast city doing this? Trying to, it's all virtue signaling. I'm gonna put up a sign. Ice can't be here. No ice in the area. Seattle did this. Remember I did that thing with Jonathan Cho where I was out in Chinatown International District? There's this park filled with homeless drug addicts, but you know what's there? a sign saying ICE is not allowed to stage on these premises. It's just, you can't make this stuff up. So the Tacoma City Council unanimously passed Ordinance 29-105, which updates municipal code to prohibit the unauthorized use of city property for civil immigration enforcement. It says under the ordinance, with some exceptions, property owned or controlled by the city cannot be used without the permission or consent of the city of Tacoma by any agents of the federal government, including ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. This ordinance creates a civil enforcement process to allow the city to seek an injunction or declaratory relief in court. The bill's sponsor says they are going to, oh, you guessed it, use your money to place these no ICE signs at places where they suspect federal agents might try to scoop up illegals.
The list of places where we will be putting out the signs are here at the Tacoma Municipal Building, the Center for Urban Waters, and the Tacoma Dome. We have a potential for up to 30 more sites that we will develop a budget process for and postage everywhere where the city has resources going forward.
Green hair is new. I'm used to blue hair, pink hair, purple hair. Green hair is new. Very edgy. I think it was L.A., Karen Bass, they spent like $500,000 during a budget crisis to put up those signs. And I would also note, when they say this is true for any federal agency for civil immigration enforcement purposes, I just don't know in the moment how that works. Because, of course, if you're saying civil immigration enforcement, there can be criminal immigration enforcement. You could have an illegal alien who's committed a violent crime, and then you're going to have Homeland Security investigations, and the person's fleeing through a city park, and it's like, they have to stop. What do? They're just going to go arrest the person. They don't care. Your sign is not going to stop them. So I don't know how they expect this to work, but they don't know either, and that's the point. It's just virtue signaling. It's just virtue signaling with your money at a time when these blue cities don't have much of your money left because they've wasted it on other things like laser hair removal for transgender prison inmates. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next. Who's leading? Maybe a new leader in the polls for president in 2028 on the Republican side and the Democratic side? I don't know. These polls, but this one's fun, so we'll do it anyway. First, summer's right around the corner. There's still time for priority scheduling with our friends at Valentine Roofing. Their schedule packs up during the summer, but they said if you can give them a call and get on the books right now, they can still get to you within 3 weeks, whether you need exterior cleaning, your gutters cleaned, your roof inspected, or a new roof. Last thing you want is to be enjoying the nice weather, and you got people just banging and putting a new roof in. Let's get it done now, right? And also because of what's happening in Iran, they do expect that that's going to start to catch up to the market and the price of goods. And so they're saying that if you lock in your price right now, it won't impact you. So call our friends at Valentine Roofing, 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. Schedule your free estimate, lock in that priority scheduling, and just get it done so you can be basking in your backyard. I had a little reel about this on Instagram. I'm gonna be in my backyard in my kiddie pool this summer, which I bought at Costco last year because Mike won't let me get a real pool.
Why don't you just use the one that we normally get for Watershed? You just need a big one like that.
Because Mike throws it away every time after Watershed.
Well, I know, but Watershed.
I've said R.I.P. I want a bigger one like that. And Mike's like, no, because then you got to clean it. And then it's like you're running the little filter.
Worth it.
You guys, talk to Mike for me. After everything I've been through, all I want is a little pool. I don't need anything big. I just want to with my dog.
Are you going to take care of it? As long as he doesn't have to clean it then.
Oh, but you're saying I have to clean it either. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. I should just do it because he'll forgive me.
He will.
But like you still see from the kiddie pool I bought last year, mm-hmm. and that I laid in like three times because it's a kiddie pool. That's not enjoyable. It's like you see the dead grass still from last year.
Spot.
And I think he sees it and just quietly fumes inside. Our lawn doesn't look good anyway.
Still worth it.
No offense, babe. But all right, what am I doing? Love you, husband. I love you.
National
news.
National.
Okay, thanks. All right, Atlas National has a new poll out on the 2028. It was on a bunch of things, approval ratings, major issues, et cetera, strikes in Iran, Venezuela. But they also polled individuals for 2028. Now, Nicole was reading the results of the poll, and she thought maybe it looked a little skewed toward the left, and maybe that explains some of what we're about to see. But it said, provided that these candidates were the candidates in 2028, who would you vote for in the Democratic primaries for the 2028 presidential election? among, and this is among those identifying as Democrats, 26% say AOC. That's crazy. In any poll, even if it's slightly skewed to the left, that's terrifying. But she's only got 26%. Pete Buttigieg, Gavin Newsom, at least Kamala Harris isn't at the top of this one.
Right.
But you know what's crazy? The more sane ones, and I'm not saying that they're totally sane, but Andy Beshear, Josh Shapiro, Rahm Emanuel. Again, I'm just going by like, hey, you know, do they think boys are girls or whatever it is?
I love the none of them. So, none of the above.
Yeah, 3%.
All like, of these are garbage.
Literally none of these people. I don't know who you're hoping for then, because that's all you got. But also, you look at that list. Wow, what a pathetic list. I mean, they really don't have anyone who's capturing the imagination of voters, so to speak. So that's not looking great for them. On the Republican side, I'm happy to see this. Marco Rubio. I mean, it's obvious. Marco Rubio needs to be the next president of the United States.
Better choice.
I won't even entertain the people who are acting as if J.D. Vance is more qualified. I know he's the vice president, and I like J.D. Vance. But Marco, I think even Trump realizes that Marco's probably the best fit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, you guys. I don't. Little Marco.
I feel like he's his right-hand man these days.
I know. I love that he went from calling him Little Marco to, you know, putting him in charge of, like, virtually everything.
Everything.
Then it's J.D. Vance, Ron DeSantis. None of the above is actually pretty big on this side, too. And then Vivek, Greg Abbott, Tim Scott, Brian Kemp. Trump Jr., I'm glad to see that a little lower in this.
I do think that's funny, but that's the thing about polls. The poll we did, they're both the Harvard poll last week and then this one. They're both pretty reputable polls.
Yeah.
And last week with Donald Trump Jr. was at the top. And I mean,
right.
That's
he
just,
wasn't at the top, right? Wasn't he second after J.D. Vance?
I think. Yeah, maybe a second.
But your point about if, you know, after reviewing some of the other stuff, thinking it skews a little to the left, then maybe that shows that Marco, like we were having some show prep, does in fact have some cross-party appeal. But I also think that. I think that Marco Rubio, for whatever reason, is much more detached from this mega, you know, they always label people mega Trump. I mean, 100%, wasn't it, of senators approved his nomination. And Trump used to hate him. Trump used to call him Little Marco. And he's undoubtedly qualified and very, very competent.
So smart.
So I don't think you'd have any Republicans, I mean, you know what I mean by that, who would vote for a Democrat over Marco Rubio. Even the unhinged never Trumpers, right? So we'll see. But right now I'm all in on Marco. I just don't see a lot of things. And I like Ron DeSantis as well, but I like Marco better than Ron DeSantis. So we'll see what happens. We should stop talking about 2028. Should we give people a break? The midterm hasn't even happened. I'll give you a break. We're not talking about 2028 anymore.
Oh, they'll start soon enough.
All right, from our friend Christopher Rufo at the City Journal, watching porn on California's death row. Under Gavin Newsom, he says, he writes, state prisoners are turning taxpayer-funded tablets into personal sex machines. So in California, it's seeking to transform its massive prison system into a Nordic-style rehabilitation program. Governor Newsom has placed a moratorium on all executions, transferred condemned prisoners to facilities across the state, dismantled San Quentin, and turned the notorious prison into a therapeutic center with art, classrooms, a cafe, and podcast studios. Shut up. Shut up. I have to pay for my podcast studios, and the prisoners get taxpayer-funded podcast studios at San Quentin?
Right.
Stop it.
Ridiculous.
Stop it. As part of this transformation, the Newsom administration approved a $189 million contract to provide new digital tablets to every inmate in the state prison system at no cost to offenders. The administration heralded the effort to replace inmates' old tablets, which were piloted just in 2008 and given to nearly all prisoners in 2023 as a step toward digital equity for justice-impacted individuals. They were given tablets in 2023, and they already need $189 million in new tablets?
Well,
how many of you have a tablet at home that you've had for longer than 3 years?
Oh, me.
Yeah. But the prisoners, they need the newest, the best. And mind you, California, like Washington, is in a deep budget crisis. It goes on to say, taxpayer-funded tablets, because they were saying, well, they need this for educational content and to learn new technology. And I'm not saying there's no use for this, right? I'm not saying there's no use for that, because most of these individuals are going to get out of prison one day. And you don't want them to leave, like, you know, if they've been in for 30 years and they come out, like, imagine what technology looked like when they went in. So I'm not saying that there's no role for that and technological literacy and all these things. But that's not what they're using it for. What do you think they're using it for? What do you think they're using it for? They're watching porn. They're lonely. They're watching porn. Oh my God, it says, in reality, taxpayer-funded tablets have been used for more lurid endeavors. City Journal investigated and contacted dozens of death row inmates who told us that prisoners in the state system use such devices to watch porn and have explicit sexual conversations. But even worse than that, some prisoners, according to a former high-ranking California corrections official, use their tablets to groom minors online. Though the state has claimed to regulate explicit content, the inmates told us that users can easily evade detection. So, yeah, they reached out specifically to death row inmates who were formerly on death row, but they got rid of that. And they say, yeah, we use it to watch porn. And the state's saying, no, they don't. When reached for comment, the California Department of Corrections said the tablets were tightly controlled educational tools that provide inmates with access to the Bible, education, and reentry resources that actually reduce crime. Huh. Yeah, but of course, inmates told them a different story. For some, the devices have become personal sex machines. In the words of one inmate, California's death row is populated with desperate, horny criminals who see the tablets as a way to satisfy their basest fantasies and desires, all thanks to the California taxpayer. So you go in, get your taxpayer-funded sex change, and then you get your taxpayer-funded tablet so you can creep on kids online and watch pornography. Cool. Normal. Mm-hmm. Totally normal.
Yep, totally normal.
Get to subscriber comments and our poll coming up next. First, our friend Zach Abraham coming up May 21st at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. He's going to have a free Impact of Energy live webinar. And he's, you know, definitely concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, the cost of oil. And he says right now, the real story when it comes to investments is happening in energy. So he's going to explain how every market's driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, and how that could potentially affect your retirement plan. Plus, a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, totally free. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. A little bloop will pop up in the middle of the screen that says register. You can also figure out how to listen to Zach's daily podcast or watch it on YouTube. All of that, KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. Okay, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. I asked if you think there should be stricter regulations on protesting outside someone's private residence. Nicole.
Yes, I'm okay with that because it doesn't just affect the people that you're protesting. It's neighbors and all that.
Wow.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you were with 90% of our viewers. I'm in the minority, I guess. Let's see. Joe Schmo, what good are stricter regulations when the cops don't or aren't allowed to enforce existing laws? And even if they did, the leftist DAs won't prosecute. And that's a good point because, like I said, there's already laws against starting a fire in someone's driveway. There's already laws against spray painting their garage door. There's already noise ordinances. And clearly that's not stopping them. So why do you think another law will stop them? Well, or that it'll be allowed to be enforced?
Well, is this going to have a penalty, though? So it's not just a code. It's a penalty. So it's not just asking somebody to leave. It'll maybe
correct.
Have stricter penalties. So maybe that fear...
It doesn't appear to stop them in any regard. Let's see here. Miranda took the poll. Is she allowed to do that? Sure. Miranda says, I'm going to vote no because government regulations are already too many in number. Basic rules should apply. No trespassing, no harassment, noise ordinances, etc. Treat it like a loud party next door. Right.
I know. Too bad people can't just be good humans.
Yeah, that's just way too much to ask. Absolutely too much to ask. Bill Swick, they should be required to get a permit, have insurance, and be monitored by a decibel meter. Then let the dogs out. Matt says, no protest zone is a slippery slope. I understand why people are getting protested, who are getting protested want it, but how does this not get abused? Right. Let's see. Officer Lee Groinman says, "Ah, crap. The communists didn't find your house, did they? Oh, they know where my house is. I was being protested once where they walked around with a sign with my address on it." And they've done that to Jonathan Cho as well. They've followed him around with a sign with his home address on it. Barb, I would say no if the current bunch of jerks who protest and dox police officers had any sense of decorum, but they're so out of control, and like others have said, no one enforces the laws anymore. All right, you guys disagree with me. You know what? That's perfectly allowable on Undivided, and I'm not going to try to ruin your life over it, because normal people don't do that. All right, on Chloe Cole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm here.
Hey. On Chloe Cole canceling her appearance at UW, or postponing, I think is probably a more appropriate way to put it. Lauren Wilson, I've had the privilege of meeting Chloe. She is such an amazing woman and an inspiration. I pray they are able to host this event soon. Many need to hear her points rather than bashing her and making terrible assumptions. Yeah. I mean, right. It's like, what are you so triggered by that she'll change your mind? What is it that...
Or someone else's mind. Oh my gosh.
You know what you can also do if you don't like what she's saying? Just walk away.
Right.
Don't go there. Go somewhere else.
Don't ask her a question.
I know it's hard, but every second of every day, somewhere on the planet, someone is uttering a thought you disagree with. You don't have to go listen to it. You don't have to go seek it out. Big Princess, glad she's saying postponed rather than canceled. Matt says, the people who yell about the right wing being a cult are very quick to attack anyone who changes their mind on their rainbow religion. Yeah. Let's see here. On the state threatening superintendents who talk to parents about just true things, Lynn Blevins, lying to parents is professional now. Lying to parents is professional. Yeah, that's what they consider a professional standard. Right. Lie, just lie to parents. That's a true professional. Norman, I've been saying it all along. I'm scared the next step will be arresting people who say anything about their agenda. Right, and that's why I think we have to... You have to think of all laws in the context of them being in the hands of your worst enemy. And that's what immediately comes to my mind when I think of the Bellevue Ordinance, is like, how will they weaponize that against conservatives? So it's just the lens I just am automatically going to look at everything through.
Just to scare them. Scare them into complicity.
Yeah.
Complicity. There we go.
Baron of Gray Matter, $5 super chat. Brandy, the Puget Sound area is basically an adult child daycare center. Rules like these need to be made because A.G. Brown will defend the lunatics. Yeah, and they should be standing up for Congressman Smith. New teachers union president on leave for alleged abuse. Necro Two Shoes, it must be the lefty game plan to hire foreigners they can use as race shields against for their fraud and malfeasance. I don't know if she's a foreigner. I have no idea. I just know her name is hard to pronounce, but I don't know if she's a foreigner. On Tacoma trying to ban ICE. I don't give a chuck. Sponsoring the boop. Also, I will not submit. I will not be silent. Moon Goddess, $2 for Nicole and her hard work. We love you and appreciate you.
Thanks,
Moon Goddess. And then Baron says, new name for ICE. Yeah, I hear they're trying to... Did they actually change it now to NICE, National Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
Well, they did, like Trump put out a thing saying it. I mean, they kind of tried to, but I don't think it's that serious, but they did.
Yeah, because they're just not going to use it. But it is funny if you have to call it NICE, National Immigration.
I don't think that they, you know, changed all the signage, but I think that it was the thing on social media that they said, we are now NICE.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was working hard to finish on time today because we've been going over so much and some people get consternation-y. But I'm close. Really? First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. He has been working with a lot of people who are leaving the state, going to Arizona, Texas, Florida, Tennessee. I don't blame you, but you're leaving us all here. It's very sad. Jim H. gives Wes 5 stars. He says, we packed our bags and hit the road to a new state, but we jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. A giant shout out to Ebby for her incredible support, unwavering dedication, and tireless effort. Together, they turned our long distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end. Love to hear it. The other thing that you have to consider, though, a lot of homes going on the market right now, especially in that upper end, like, you know, 2 million plus. And so there's definitely a saturation happening on the market. But for that kind of mid-range, not as many homes in that area. So you might not have the same issue. You might be good to go in that regard. But Wes will give you the lay of the land with a free market analysis. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a totally better way to sell your home. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. right. So there is a lawmaker in Tennessee named Justin Pearson. Is that the one you want to go with today? You gave me two options in there. I wasn't sure which one we were going to do.
No, that's it's the same. Yeah. No.
And I'm sorry. He's a Democrat, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What is with Democrats faking accents? It's a disease.
Yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton used to do it. Kamala Harris, remember there was like, she'd be Indian in one room, she'd be black in one room, she'd have an Asian accent, and like she'd, it was totally bizarre. And Jasmine Crockett, she'd go into her sort of like quote unquote ghetto accent in front of certain crowds, and then, you know, that's not how she actually speaks. So the same thing seems to be true with Justin Pearson, who has a fake Southern accent. Let's listen.
Justin J. Pearson, and I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation?
Seem like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last.
No,
but oh, we have good news, folks.
No.
We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
Nicole, play it again. Play it again. Is that the same person?
Yeah.
Justin J. Pearson, and I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation?
Seem like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might
last. No, that's not the same person.
But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
Stop it. Why do people think they can do that in the internet age?
I just don't think they care.
Oh,
it I mean, and in reality, it works.
Absolutely bizarre.
Apparently.
Absolutely bizarre. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. Again, another thank you to all of you who have sent nice messages, became subscribers in the last couple days during all the drama. We do appreciate it. We do have a 30% off promo for new subscriptions right now. Go to patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. What else? I was going to fit in a Let's Go Washington free pitch during every show with my First Amendment rights. New income tax initiative is out. Let'sGoWa.com. Find a way to sign it. God, I'm really poking the bear, aren't I? Poking the bear. See you tomorrow.